Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
You've waited all week, and now the wait is over. It's the only unfiltered media podcast in America. This is Trash Talk on WEEI.com. Here he is, your boy, Blind Mike.
I think this is a magical day for us, the end of a remarkable season, and I would just like to start a cheer. Let's go Red Sox! Let's go Red Sox!
Woohoo! We're back in the series, baby!
No. That was my Kind Mike impression.
I know, I was worried. I was like, oh no, what's happening?
He's back!
Kind Mike?
No. That was an impression of Kind Mike. I, of course, am not the same guy. Blind Mike's back, baby!
He's back.
And better than ever. Kind Mike sat in for me last week. Sadly, he's no longer with us. He was chasing a butterfly and ran out into the street and was hit by a bus.
Wow.
And the one thing Kind Mike and I share in common is a lack of awareness on what's going on around us. He also doesn't see well. That's the one thing.
That's your trait.
That's the one thing we have in common, yeah.
Both blind.
So he was hit by a bus. No, apparently Kind Mike is alive and active. He's on Twitter.
There's a new Kind Mike.
I saw that, and it made me laugh because whoever that is saying things that I would say.
I thought it was you because
the one that made me laugh was last night before the ALCS. They tweeted, "Who's got pennant fever? Am I right, gang?" And I was like, that one I could see myself.
It's definitely somebody close to you, I feel like.
It's got
to
be.
It's your sense of humor.
It's got to be.
Yeah.
Or unless it's someone like whoever runs Callahan Forever.
Yeah.
If they've just got a lot of time on their hands. But now I feel like part of the family. You know,
right,
there's a Blind Mike parody account. I'm one of the gang now.
You've made
and
it.
They say this show doesn't matter. But I will address. So more than one person brought this up to me, which I found astonishing. They listened to the Kind Mike episode.
It was a good episode.
It was not bad. You know, we have different styles, he and I. But the guy knows how to run a show, for sure. Seemed like he started to repeat himself a lot and almost got tired of of the act after a while.
Didn't we all?
But Kind Mike was filling in for me, and multiple people after that episode asked, so what'd you get suspended for? And I was like, you know what? I don't want to break down the fourth wall. I was suspended. I just made up a reason why I was suspended. I was like, do you not know that's me? It's me.
No, it's
not really. I'm kidding. It's a different guy completely that just sounds a lot like me. But yeah, I was like, Jesus Christ. No, I wasn't suspended.
Right.
There was something brought up to me by people. And I won't get into the dirty details because I don't think they want me to. But basically, and I see their side of things. I'm a guy at the very bottom of the totem pole here, and I don't think I'm going to make any friends by completely shitting on the people that can advance me every time I'm on here.
It's not usually how it works, you know.
Not usually. Now, first of all, I don't think I was doing that. I didn't think I was being absolutely brutal. I thought I was saying shit that was obviously kind of a joke, kind of my opinion, a little bit of both. But stuff people could shrug off. And also, I think because I go by the name Blind Mike, and because there's videos of me online with thousands of views of me making an ass of myself, I felt that I expect that of others a lot, but then you realize there's people that aren't on air that didn't sign up for that type of shit. So I understand that. So I'll try to be a little better about it. And no one told me to make this. I'll still be essentially the same guy, but I won't be as volatile, I guess.
I was going to say, that's probably the closest thing to an apology I've ever
No. Nice. No. Fuck them. No, wait. All right. Got to calm down. I was told that I was trying too much to be a mix of Kirk Menahan and Barstool Sports, and I was like, is that really a bad thing? Look at how much money both of them are making. But whatever. You know, I don't want to change who I am, but I also would like an actual job. So if you will, join me on this journey, folks, and see how I maneuver these waters into the new territory I'm going into. I have a couple ideas. And I may need to use Caitlin for one of them.
Oh, boy.
I won't say it on air because I don't want to spoil it.
Oh, okay.
But I do have an idea of a thing. So there are, it was suggested to me that we start using more guests. And I think Caitlin may help in that. With one person in particular that I would love to have on. Mm-hmm. And I think it would be a great episode. But we'll talk about that later.
Okay.
Stay tuned,
excited.
Folks. Yeah. Yeah, there's someone that I think would be very good. And possibly much easier persuaded by the likes of Caitlin than myself.
That's what I'm good at.
We'll talk. but let's get, as Kind Mike would say, let's get into some topics.
Let's do it.
A little bit of old news now, but it kind of came back with something that happened in the Red Sox game. But if you were watching the Pats game Sunday night, last Sunday, you saw the horrible, oh my God, how did Tyreek Hill survive? The violent assault that was done onto him Sunday evening in Foxborough. Can you believe it, Caitlin? Thank God he's still alive.
Yeah, it's like the man's never had a beer like dumped on him before.
Oh, my goodness. Now, yeah, Tyreek Hill had a beer dumped on him in a Patriots game, and the world stood still for 3 days. Jesus Christ, people. I don't get why that was. I turned on either station Monday and Tuesday. And it was all they were talking about. The Red Sox were in the ALCS.
Right.
And the Patriots just won a game against a formerly undefeated team. And all they were talking about was Tyreek Hill. It was crazy to me. So here's my thoughts on it. First of all, someone brought up to me on Twitter. I thought this was bizarre. And this is almost the moment when I was like, maybe am I trying to be too much like Minahan? Because some guy on Twitter... And I think...
Don't let the Twitter fools get you, Mike.
No, but I think this was a guy, like, I have so few actual fans that the ones I do have, I notice.
Okay.
So people that, like a lot of my shit or respond to a lot of my shit, I notice. And one guy, I think, his name looks familiar. So I think it's a guy that kind of follows me.
Okay.
Somewhat closely. He said to me, you know, I tweeted something like, can't believe it. A drunk asshole behaved like a drunk asshole at a football game. Can you believe it, folks? And this guy replied something to the effect of, then why do you refuse to believe the Adam Jones story where Adam Jones heard a fan at Fenway yell the N-word at him? And a lot of people don't necessarily believe that story just because no one in that section said they heard it.
Right.
There was no video of it. Anything. There were no other stories really of, I hear that all the time. You know what I mean? Like, and I've been to Fenway a million times. That would spark a reaction.
Right.
At the very
other
least.
Fans would have been.
People would be like, Jesus Christ. Yeah, right. People would at least say something on Twitter or whatever. And there was nothing like that. So that's why a lot of people don't believe it. But I don't think I ever even gave my, certainly not on this show, because I don't think it's been a story since I started doing this show. So, I don't think I ever really talked about it. And this guy says, why do you refuse to believe the Adam Jones story? And I said, what are you talking about? I go, when did I say that? And he says, well, Kirk and Callahan say it all the time, and you worship them.
Oh, boy.
So, I'm sure that that's what you think also.
Oh, boy. You can't assume, folks.
So what the fuck are you talking about? I said, first of all, if I agreed with everything Kirk and Jerry said, I would never acknowledge a comedy that came out after 1973. I don't just blindly agree with everything they say. I respect the hell out of those guys. But I don't just, you know, go on blind faith, as it were, with everything they say. That's silly. I disagree with a lot of their arguments, but I respect them as broadcasters, and I think they do a show the right way. That doesn't mean every opinion they have I agree with that's nonsense. But it's also a weird move to go, oh, well, you like these guys on the radio, so I'm going to assume your opinion and right. use that as the argument.
That's
the like, use it to accuse me of...
something that you've never talked about
before. Very weird. So that's when I was like, what the fuck? If someone did yell that at Fenway, and that's a true story, I'd think they were an asshole. Right. And that's more or less what I think of this guy at Foxborough. However, I don't believe that the world should stop in either of those cases for all of us to go, oh my God, can you believe it? Someone who had too many drinks did something stupid at a public event where a lot of other people were drinking. You know what I mean? Like it's right. So what I assume that guy at Foxborough, this is what I would guess is the case. I don't think he knows that Tyreek Hill beat up his pregnant wife.
He probably didn't even know who it was.
Allegedly. Probably, right. I'm guessing the guy had several beers in the parking lot, several more inside the stadium.
Maybe snuck a few nips, you know.
Very likely. Mm-hmm. I hear people do that. Mm-hmm. And then even maybe it came up because they were sitting so close to the sideline. Maybe it even came up with his buddies. Wouldn't that be funny if a chief came over and I dumped a beer on him? Maybe that came up in a more sober part of the evening. And then when he sees a chief trotting by, here's old Johnny's time to shine. And he throws a beer at him. That's probably what happened. We don't need to dissect that anymore and say, well, is this man a racist? Should he keep his job? Should he be banned from the premises for the rest of his life?
Which he was, right?
I know he was kicked out that night, and
there was
discussion of a lifetime ban. I didn't know. I wasn't sure.
I'm pretty sure.
That's
sure
crazy.
He's officially out of Fox
that's
crazy.
And he's a 21-year-old guy. They're all assholes. Every single one of them. I was a 21-year-old, and I've met many others. They're all dicks across the board. Especially when they're drinking. Now, does that mean the guy should be punished for the rest of his life? And then that should be like on. What was the story? Tyreek Hill is suing him now, I guess?
I don't... I think that he wanted to... He wanted...
It was brought up anyways.
It's either that or he wanted him to, like, face whatever legal action
legal
mass.
Ramification?
Yeah, he was asking
for what?
Him.
Hey, yeah. Tyreek, maybe let sleeping dogs lie. If glass houses, buddy. Maybe if you're throwing punches at your pregnant girlfriend, maybe don't go pointing the finger at
exactly,
other people.
Like, well, you...
you know? You got away with one. Maybe just... Let this one rest for a little while.
Right, like step away from the cords.
Yeah.
Let's not.
Yeah, right. It's very silly. And I'll tell you what, I think the guy in Houston is a much bigger dick than this guy in Foxborough. Maybe this is homerism. But I see the guy in Foxborough as a guy who said, well, Tyreek Hill's coming over here. I'm going to dump my beer on him. No, you won't, you pussy. Oh, no, I won't? Watch me. Throws
his
beer
exactly
at him.
That's exactly the conversation I think they had.
100% would happen. I have no doubt in my mind that that's exactly what happened. Whereas, I think the guy in Houston was a grown man who said, ooh, bully!
Right.
There's a baseball coming my way! And he got in the way of the game. That's an asshole to me.
Mm-hmm.
They both are, really. But... If you're a grown man that can't keep his hands off of a baseball,
playoff baseball,
or if you think this is my time to be part of Astros lore, I'm gonna reverse Bartman this one, then you're also a dick because it's like what are you doing, man? Just you're not part of the game. You're not one of the guys. You never will be, even if you slap the ball out of Mookie Betts' hand. So I look at that as a lot more silly and childish, almost. The Tyreek Hill thing, it's a shower and a load of laundry. Tyreek Hill wasn't violently assaulted. You know what I mean? The pompous, high and mighty tweets you see on Twitter after that. And I heard, I'm not supposed to make fun of him, but a guy in the other room right now, I heard him say on the radio, somewhere between the hours of 10 and 2 on Monday, that, you know, he's another one, they're championing the banning for life of this guy. And said, how can you be so obtuse to do such a thing? And it's like, I don't know, because he's a 21-year-old drunk. That's how.
I think that...
You know?
I think that Pats fans are so scared of being like Philly fan, you know what I mean? Like they don't want to have that like, oh, we're the aggressive, like we'll throw things at you,
but we are
at you in the parking lot, right?
Eventually, we're gonna stop this rivalry with Philly and just embrace that we're
hit
one.
The horses,
we're
together.
One, baby. We are. We're essentially Philly that's able to hold it together a little better. Like Philly, they just lack that instinct to keep their mouths shut and keep their batteries to themselves. We're able to, you know, we're a little more reserved. But in our hearts, we're Philly. We're Philly trash, baby. Through and through. So, you know, I just hate the condescending, talking down to fan. Like, how could anyone be so foolish? I don't know, because he's a drunk 21-year-old. Lay off the guy.
He probably didn't realize, too, that, like, he was on camera. You know
what
I mean?
Oh, no,
like,
he did. I'm sure he did.
I don't, like...
Or maybe he didn't realize anything. I don't know how drunk the guy
was. Exactly. Like, I just feel like
that's possible. But there was something in his mind that said, like, he wanted attention. But I don't know. Can we fault the guy? Look what I'm doing right now. Talking into a microphone for something that I will later tweet out to everyone and be like, please listen. So it's like, can I really fault the guy for wanting a little attention?
Right.
He just did it in a dumber way. So I don't know. Yeah, I look at the guy in Houston as equally foolish. Ooh, there's a ball coming my way. I wish I brought my mitt. You're a grown man.
Right.
Let Mookie catch. And by the way, the debate over that, Mookie would have caught that. Was it not clear
100%.
To everyone else?
Yeah.
Like, it wasn't even close. Like, he was obviously going to catch
Do
that.
Do you think that the guy knew the rule that, like, the Astros player was out if he messed with it at all? Do you think he knew? Or
probably. Yeah, I would assume so. If you can afford that seats that close and you're going to a game,
that, like,
I feel like you know the rules.
He's definitely a baseball fan.
Yeah.
He's paying to go to a game.
A lot of money, I'm guessing.
Right.
I think he thought, this is my time to shine, baby. I'm going to be the Jeffrey Mayer of the Astros. I'm going to be a hero. And turns out, that's not what happened. And Joe West got the blame for making the right call, damn it. And the Astros are cheaters anyways. That was another thing. People got high in my... I was in the bathroom.
Uh-oh.
And they play EEI here. They alternate stations.
Right.
And I hear Tomasi going, the Astros were definitely cheating. And it's like, hey, maybe stay away from this one, Tomasi. Mm-hmm. Remember your take on Spygate? Sit this one out, buddy. But it's like, yeah, the Astros were doing some shady shit, obviously. But who are we? We defended, rightfully so... We all defended Tom Brady through Deflategate and the Patriots through Spygate on the idea of even if they are guilty, who gives a shit?
Everyone's doing it.
Does it really matter?
Right.
So who are we to look at the Astros and go, oh, my stars and garters. We clutch our pearls and say, how could they? It's like, hey, our boys are doing the same type of shit. Does it really matter? Let's let this one slide.
Let's all just
we
not
won the
talk
series.
About it.
Let's let this one slide. Let's let the other guys get away with one. That way, the next time we do it, we're not going to have to hear as much nonsense. You know? Be cool for once, guys. That's all I'm asking on this podcast.
Right.
Every week, whether it's PC nonsense or this kind of stuff, can everyone just be cool for like a minute and be like, and not need to hall monitor everyone? Hey, show us your pass. Are you supposed to be in the hallway right now? Beat it, nerd. Get off my ass.
Mike was the cool kid.
Yeah, I was one of the cool guys, you know? No, I really wasn't. That's why I want to be one now. Let me be cool, damn it.
Stop ruining this.
For 5 minutes. The other thing was the Alex Bregman. Again, people got very high and mighty about this. Alex Bregman posted on his Instagram just clips of Astros hitting home runs off Nathan Eovaldi. And he posted that before Eovaldi's start on Tuesday.
Yeah, game three.
I thought it was funny. That's funny.
Right.
I honestly wish I would be more on board. So over the summer when I was on with Gilroy, I said I had no faith in this Red Sox team. Now, I did amend that and say, but if they prove me wrong, it's because Alex Cora did a much better job than my friend John Farrell. And it turns out I was right.
Right. I don't think anyone had faith in the Red Sox. Before.
No. Gilroy pretended
literally
to.
Before this year.
Gilroy pretended to.
Right.
Yeah. He's as phony as I am. No, but the I lost my train of thought. Uh-oh. The hell was I saying?
Sorry.
God damn it, Caitlin. So Alex Bregman. The reason I kind of didn't like this team. I didn't believe they were clutch. I didn't believe they had any heart. And I said, other than maybe like Chris Sale and Rick Porcello, it doesn't seem like they have anyone that cares. There's no personalities on this team. Now I don't think that's true. You saw a little bit of their personality when they taunted the Yankees after that series.
Mm-hmm.
Stuff like that. So maybe they have a little more personality, and I think that's got a lot to do with Cora. But honestly, I'd like a guy like Alex Bregman. Trash talking. Hey, look at that. That's the name of the show. I think there needs to be more of that in sports. Trash talk. Fridays on WEI.com.
Subtle plug.
But I really believe... So what I think is that the Red Sox should have been annoyed at that. Nathan Eovaldi should have been pissed. It should have motivated him, which obviously it did. And the Astros should be saying, what the hell are you doing? You don't poke a bear. You poke a bear, you might get bit. And my Alex Bregman poked a bear.
That sounds like great advice.
Yeah. So those two groups should have that reaction to something like that. But us, as fans or people in the media, I don't get why we're like supposed to be offended by it. Like, I take that back. Even fans, I get the idea of rooting for a team and being like, fuck Alex Bregman. Screw him. Let's go kick his ass. I get that. But I don't get the people in the media who don't really have a dog in the fight. You know, like Felger and Maz. Maz obviously doesn't root for the Red Sox. They want misery. They want the Red Sox to lose in the World Series so they can bitch about someone. They can call David Price a loser or say Alex Cora is overrated or whatever spin they'll put on it. They prefer negativity because it's good for their ratings and more power to them. But I don't get the idea of Maz or someone like that looking at what Alex Bregman did and going, why? Why would you do that? We should be celebrating that. Because the reason we have no personality in sports anymore is because every time someone shows an ounce of personality, ooh, no, no, back to sensitivity training for
right.
you. No, no, no. How dare you? And that's why we created Bill Belichick. Really. Like, for all the people that bitch about Bill Belichick, we created that. Because Bill Belichick looked at it and said, anything I say could be spun into bulletin board material for the other team or a distraction for my guys or whatever. So now I'm going to say nothing. And I'm going to be a complete dick about it. And then the media complains about that. And then when Alex Bregman says, we're going to beat the shit out of the Red Sox, here's a few clips of us bashing Nathan Eovaldi. We all go, oh, why would you do something like that? No, no, no. He should be celebrated by the media, if no one else.
Right. Makes things a little interesting.
Yeah. His teammate should be pissed because it's like, why give Nathan Eovaldi and the rest of the team any extra motivation? Why give the team with 108 wins extra motivation? That I get. But, you know, it seems a little phony of the media to be so outraged by it when it's great for business.
Not only does it add something to talk about, but it adds that competitive aspect to the next game.
Yeah.
It made it more interesting, and then it made the win bigger. So
yeah. And then David Price.
Right, and then something that added.
This is the other thing last night. David Price pitched great. Why are we supposed to like regret everything we said about? I hate the people. I don't know if Pete Abraham. I'd have to check Pete Abe's Twitter. I forget if I'm blocked or that creep. He blocks and unblocks me so often. I forget. I don't know where I stand right now. So I don't know if I can check it or not. But a guy like Pete Abraham who like defends David Price. Like last night, someone like that would be out like, and I heard this on, I saw this on Twitter, where they're like, see? All you bullies who were bashing David Price, how do you feel now? How do you like those apples, Buster? You big bully. I feel exactly the same as I did before. You paid a guy $31 million a year. He was garbage for 3 years. Terrible in the playoffs. We had to get up and cheer for him when he leaves the game after 4 2/3. Hey, we're not losing, David. Attaboy. That's the highest paid guy on your team. So we criticized him. Maybe threw a few boos out there. Why now? Because he finally did his job. Are we supposed to say, "Oh, David, we're so sorry. Can you ever forgive me?" No, we expected him to do his job. Don't regret anything you said about David Price, folks. Even if he wins all four World Series games. Because you were right. Don't question yourself. You were right about David Price. Now, if he continues to pitch well, and you continue to criticize him, then you're wrong. But before yesterday, he did nothing to prove you wrong. Ever. Ever once. He was a bum. He's a loser. As I said on Twitter so perfectly, so eloquently, some people are just losers. And David Price is a loser. Last night he wasn't. Last night he finally. Caitlin, I apologize. I've never had a female in the studio, so I apologize if this is too graphic for you.
Let it out.
David Price stuck his hand down his pants. He searched around for a pair of nuts. And finally, last night, he found him. That should be celebrated, but not. Let's not go over the top. You know what I mean? Like, the guy, he didn't throw a perfect game. He pitched very well in the World Series. He pitched about as well as you would expect a guy making $31 million a year who's won a Cy Young to pitch. That's basically how good he pitched last night. So let's not go over the top with licking those nuts that David Price found. What do we have for time, Caitlin? I feel like I've been shorter these last couple
weeks. Yeah, 25.
That's the time it should be. I feel like you rein me in.
Yeah?
Me and Jared would get off on tangents.
You had too much fun.
Yes. Yeah. Yeah. It was a bowl of laughs in here. And with you, it's not that. And I really like that. No, this is like the time. We should keep it like about a half an hour.
Yeah.
I kind of like that. Especially when there's not a ton to talk about. You know? It's all, Red Sox are in the World Series. The Celtics are starting. It's all rose petals around here. So we can't.
Everyone's too happy.
Yeah. Kind Mike really rubbed off on me.
Uh-huh.
Shorter shows with kind Mike's influence. Celtics are back too. But, really nothing happened there. I mean, they look good.
Nothing.
Gordon Hayward looks good. Nothing to complain about.
Yeah.
I'm trying to think. What will we have? Oh! I will complain about the TBS broadcast. Thank God they're over.
Who's doing the World Series?
Joe Buck and John Smoltz,
boy.
I believe. They, God, I thought Eckersley was supposed to be in the booth for the ALCS. Maybe he was just in Boston? But I don't remember hearing him in Boston either.
No.
I thought Eckersley was supposed to be in the booth, but he certainly wasn't. So we're left with Brian Anderson and Ron Darling. And boy, is...
It's quite the combo.
Oh, you know what else I meant to talk about is...
you got time, Mike.
Monday Night Football. Thank God I remembered this, because I wanted to hype up my boy, who follows me on Twitter, by the way,
ooh,
Pat McAfee.
Ooh.
Both ex-Barstool employees, rogue podcasters now.
Aren't we all?
It's amazing to me. I heard Richard Deitch, the media critic for Sports Illustrated. He was on with Callahan and Mutt last week, and they asked him about the Monday Night Football team. Monday Night Football is getting a lot of... a lot of flack. I thought the... Now, I'll admit, now that I finally thought of something, that I was bringing up the TBS broadcast to kill time. They were whatever.
We're sorry, TBS.
They were boring.
We'll take it back.
They were boring as hell. I thought it was funny. I heard Felger the other day say... he goes, you know, TBS is really great at putting on a broad... He goes, I love their pre and post game. They do a great job with it. I mean, I don't really like Gary Sheffield, and Jimmy Rollins does nothing for me. But Pedro does a great job. And I looked at the TBS broadcast. It's Jimmy Rollins, it's Gary Sheffield, and it's Pedro.
Right.
So I was like, you don't really like the broadcast.
So
you like
Pedro.
What the hell are you talking about? But yeah, I think Pedro's good. And the other two are... Sheffield sounds like a dope, kind of. But whatever. Monday Night Football. That broadcast is so bad. Joe Tessitore has like a great voice. And I think if there was a good color guy on there, you'd be able to ignore him. You'd be able to just, you know, hear him for what he is. But he's very boring. And I heard Richard Deitch say that Jason Witten, like, yeah, Jason Witten doesn't really give a lot of insight. He's not very good so far. But remember, ESPN said when they hired him that this is a hire for the future. And I don't.
What does that mean?
Right. I don't remember Callahan calling him out on it. I expected a Callahan.
Yeah.
What the hell is he talking about? And I was surprised they didn't call him out, because I was like, what the hell does that mean? It's not like he's a 21-year-old ball player. is a guy who played in the NFL, and now he's in the booth. You don't wait 10 years for these guys to get good. I thought it was a bizarre
comment. There's so many other people.
Comment.
That, yeah.
But then, so I've been listening to the Pat McAfee Show and Heartland Radio 2.0, Pat McAfee's podcast, and they're really good. And he's really funny. And he knows, I think, if you were going to put him in the booth, you might want a more analytical guy like Teddy Bruschi or I don't know. So I'm just trying to think of someone more, or Matt Hasselbeck maybe. Someone who's a little more analytical, but can still like goof around with him. But Pat McAfee obviously knows his stuff. And he's really funny. And it's just amazing to me, time and time again, every hire they make, ESPN proves that they want to be, you know, PC and safe. They don't really care about being interesting or entertaining. And it's amazing to me because Pat McAfee's, from the little I've listened so far, he's not a guy that says, you know, fuck the industry, blah, blah, blah. He's very willing to be on a national broadcast. Like, it seems like if CBS or Fox or ESPN came calling, he'd take that job, absolutely. I think he'd be so good on Monday Night Football. And that kind of goes to the idea I had where it's like you kind of have a G-rated broadcast and an R-rated broadcast where guys can say whatever they want. I think Pat McAfee would like be the perfect mix of both. Because, I mean, he's not dumb enough to curse on the air, I don't think.
Maybe.
God forbid. God forbid people hear a no-no word on their broadcast on cable. But, you know, I mean, Pat McAfee has been around long enough to kind of know his stuff as far as the rules of broadcasting. I think he'd be very good. And it's unbelievable to me that a place like ESPN, who's struggling, I think Monday Night Football is not... I mean, it's the NFL, so obviously it does okay. Or it does well, but not as well as it used to. Monday Night Football used to be an event.
Right.
Used to be a big, when I was a kid, it used to be like a thing. And now it's like an afterthought. It's a football afterthought.
Will it come back after baseball's done, do you think? Or
no.
No?
No. I mean, it's they put boring games on Monday night. That's part of it. But it's also like the broadcast is boring. Everything about it is just boring now. At least, you know, Al Michaels and Chris Collinsworth are good. Love them or hate them. They're both good at their jobs, whereas that broadcast is just ugh, boring. So that's my advice to you, ESPN. Hire Pat McAfee, damn it. And give me some credit.
Are you going to be his campaign manager?
Yes, I'm trying to be. Yeah, I'm lobbying. This is the start. I'm lobbying for Pat McAfee.
Started here.
To get on Monday Night Football. I got you back, bro. Former Barstool buddies, we got to stick together. As long as he follows, if he unfollows me on Twitter, we're done. There was another backup has-been that did that. Scott Zolak. He's dead to me.
Oh, boy.
Oh, yeah. You can listen to that in another episode. But for now, we leave you this week, but not before we tell you to, as always, subscribe on iTunes.
I can't iTunes.
Speak. See, if we get over a half an hour, I can't talk anymore. Subscribe on iTunes. Give us a 5-star review. Say something nice. Say, oh, that Mike, he's such a sweet boy. Or whatever you want to say. I don't want to write it for you. Be creative. Give us a 5-star rating, positive review if you like the show. If not, I'm not going to twist your arm. And tell your friends about us. And or you can listen on WEI.com. And as the outro will say, the radio.com app. But that is a lie because we are not on there. So don't go looking for us. I think we are under, like, the WEI podcast. We don't have our own page. Just more disrespect for a poor disabled boy. See you next week, gang.
You've been listening to Trash Talk, Trash Talk with Blind Mike. Hear it again on WEEI.com, iTunes, and the radio.com app. Tune in next week for another edition of Trash Talk, Trash Talk, a presentation of WEEI.com.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.